What is up, guys? Welcome back to Millennial Hollywood here at the Popcorn Talk Network. Today we are interviewing two of my favorite cast members from Freeform Stitchers. We are talking season three, so inducing Stitch NeuroSync in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Millennial Hollywood. We are talking Stitcher Season 3. We've got two cast members here today. What is up, guys? Thank you for joining me.
Hey.
Where can everyone find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter as Tash Rajan, T-E-S-H-R-A-J-A-N, and Facebook as Ritesh Rajan.
I am also on Instagram and Twitter as Ritesh Rajan. No. at Damon Dayub on both.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. As you both know, super fan of Stitchers, and I'm so happy. It's been a long time coming, but we're getting a season three.
It is happening.
Yeah. A little too long.
A little too long.
But we're here.
What happened?
That's all that matters.
What happened?
You know, I think the network was just trying to figure out, you know, what was going to stick and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. And, they were taking their time with their decisions, as any renewal is a major decision for any network, so they just wanted to make sure they were making the right one.
Yeah.
They chose They did.
They did.
We're here.
I know. It took them a little too long, in my opinion.
It did. I agree, but you know what? Us here than not be here.
Exactly. So we're super thankful.
Yes.
And so you guys started whenever it was ABC Family, right?
That's right.
Correct.
So in this new season, do you have room for more to play with, a little bit more, I guess?
There's tons of nudity.
Tons of nudity.
We have lots of nudity.
Ladies.
Tesh takes his shirt off.
I was going to say you take your shirt off. I think they're more interested in that. But we both take our shirt off.
A lot.
It's weird. The entire show.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward, but you guys should like it. So
exactly.
I think with the rebranding to Freeform, they're obviously trying to get a little bit older, a little bit edgier, kind of grow with their audience and be able to talk about topics that their demographics are going through nowadays. You know, so I think everyone's getting a little bit older, especially in the way they're viewing television. Everyone's watching stuff that's a little bit edgier, a little bit sexier, a little bit more violent. But at the same time, I think they're also dealing with more appropriate and mature issues.
Right.
So,
was there ever a moment when reading the script, you're like, whoa, we're allowed to do this now?
Well, we do a little bit more, especially for season three. There's a lot more action going on.
It's
a lot more fun, and I don't think we were able to do that really in the first couple seasons.
So
there's a lot more fun action stuff season three. Yeah.
That is really cool, because I like with Freeform, not only do you get to talk about a little bit more adult topics, but you're also able to, it seems like, have things be a little bit more graphic or have more action scenes, and it has matured, and I think it's really cool, because ABC Family was awesome, but bringing that to the next level, I think, has brought in a lot more viewers, because it allows the older demographic to also enjoy it. So I think it's really cool and awesome that Freeform has kind of molded into shaping it for everyone. I think that's really awesome.
Well, and we get to cuss a lot.
There you go, and that's always fun, right? Oh, that's great. Okay, well, what we're going to do here is we're going to recap season two finale a little bit to kind of see where we've left off, and then now, because of that, where we're going to move forward in season three. So I want to talk about Fisher's storyline for a little while here.
Okay.
So Fisher tells Camille that she's strong after Liam's death. She feels like she could have done something to stop it, and you feel like, you know, you're doing your job, and that's it, type of a thing. Do you think that he kind of sees Camille as something more, or is he just trying to be there for her as a friend?
Well, I think they have a bond. I think that they're really close. I feel like Camille and Fisher can relate to each other, and confide in each other in ways that some of the other members of the team can't. I think that Fisher sees himself a bit in Camille. She's really tough, and she wants to be more than just, really smart and in the lab all the time. She wants to get out there and branch out and beat people up.
Yeah.
And Fisher is sometimes good at that. So,
yes. Only sometimes.
Only sometimes. Other times he gets handcuffed to bike racks.
Coco Sue. That episode.
But, I think that they have a bond. Who knows where it goes. In the next season or two, but they definitely are really close.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact that she's done just, like, holding the iPad. Like, she wants to, like, get out there on the field. And seeing you kind of help train her in a sense, or her being more active to be able to do the kind of a thing, she's kind of doing that, I guess, maybe behind closed doors a little bit, like, getting prepped and ready. I think she wants to present herself to Maggie and be like, look, you know, she has had this conversation before, but she wants to be like, I want more responsibilities. I want to be out there on the field and not just have to hold this iPad.
Well, she's a jack of all trades. I mean, she can kind of do everything in the lab. So, you know, she's just one of those people. You have to utilize all of her talents.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, and then we see your wife in the show. She decides to kind of, like, come back. You have to work together to get, like, a file for Kirsten, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And she shows up, and then that whole thing is kind of crazy, because you had taken your wedding ring off. She still has it on, and she's wanting to get another shot. In your mind, or in your character's mind, are you thinking, I'm kind of past this already, or are you wanting to, because it's a marriage, wanting to try to work it out?
Well, for Fisher, it wasn't really his idea to break it off. And I think it was really difficult for him dealing with that, as all breakups are. Breakups are tough. And I think he had hope that they could get back together. And then, you know, when he saw her still wearing the ring, I think a lot of emotions started to flood. And he's trying to figure out, you know, where this goes.
Yeah.
And I definitely think he wants to give it another try. I mean, she's his soulmate. So, and I think it's worth it. So we'll see. They go on one date and go from there.
All right. Yeah. Is it? I don't know if they said in the show, but have they kind of explained what happened, or was it just like a misunderstanding between the two? They kind of grew apart. They haven't really explained it, right?
No, Fisher's not easy to live with, and he's not easy to date. He's one of those guys that just loves his job, and it's all about the work. And sometimes, when you are that person, it affects your relationships negatively. And I think that was exactly what happened there.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, it's going to be so interesting, because I'm like all for pulling through and making the marriage work. But then Camille is there, and she's taking your help and everything. So she's thinking, oh, there's something more here. Like, he's not just being a good friend. Like, I feel a connection with him.
Right. Well, but also, you know, it's emotions, because when you have a connection with somebody, whether it's a friendship or in a relationship, you know, sometimes your emotions get the best of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that for them, I think their friendship is first and foremost. But who knows what could happen season three.
Yeah. And it's crazy, because she, like, drunk dials you while you're, like, she's so funny.
We've been there. We've all been there.
Yes. Yeah. She, like, drunk dials you, and she's like, hey, like, come on over. And you're like, I'm getting ready to go to dinner with my wife. And she's like, oh, she sobers up real quick.
I know.
So I'm really interested to see how that is all going to work out. Personally, I know, like, I want the marriage to work out, but I was kind of for the Fisher-Mayling relationship, because I thought that would have been a really cool way to go with it.
She was pretty fantastic.
I was for that, too.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to happen.
I thought that was going to happen as well.
Despite handcuffing me to a bike rack, I could see past it, but she was lovely, and the actress that played her was just phenomenal. So
We'll see. I would love that to come back. I love that episode. That was really cool. Okay, so now let's talk about Linus's storyline.
Yes, sir.
Linus has got a lot going on in the finale, and in episodes leading up to that. His father has, like, a 50-50 chance of living.
Yeah, we see kind of in the last moments in that montage of season two, his dad goes basically into cardiac arrest. Whether he's going to make it or not, that's something you're going to have to just watch and see. I'm not allowed to disclose that.
Right, definitely.
But, you know, it's taken a toll on him. I think, you know, kind of his journey in season two, and his relationship with Camille, and then obviously dealing with the burden of his parents is starting to change him slightly, and the way that he would normally react to situations. I think he was kind of always a character that would act before he would speak, even though his intentions were always good. You know, it wouldn't necessarily put him in the best situation.
Yeah.
So I think he's becoming a little bit more wise because of it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I know that... you know, in one of these last scenes, we see that your parents actually know what you do for a living, and that they kind of helped get you there, and they were okay to get that information because they had worked in the government as well.
Yes.
And I think whether or not, you know, your father makes it in the show, I think knowing that they know what you do it almost gives you some peace knowing that you didn't have to keep that secret anymore and that your father was proud of you no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a lot of relief and just a burden off his shoulders. I think kind of the person that Linus is, he obviously wants to be honest with his parents. You know, even in season one when he has to call his parents in the lockdown and he has to basically say goodbye, you know, for what he thinks is the end. I wanted to make sure that he struggled with that moment. You know, he didn't want to upset his parents. At the same time, he didn't want to lie. So he kind of tells the truth without telling the truth, you know. And so I think it was a moment of relief, you know. And I think that only strengthens the bond between him and his parents and then allows him to move emotionally kind of freely throughout the lab, you know, with his relationships with... and friendships with everyone in the lab.
Definitely. Yeah, and seeing all that happen and knowing that this might go down, it just makes me have so much anxiety. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to make him pull through. I'm like, come on, Papa.
How great were all three of them in those scenes too? I thought they were just fantastic.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The actors that play my parents, they're a blast, and you know when they they're there on set, it's always a riot.
Yes. So, I saw like a GIF or a GIF of you like on the Stitchers account where it's like when you're really sad but your friend asks you if you want to watch Stitchers, so you're like, you're crying. I love that. They're so clever and so funny.
Yeah, the people out there, they're pretty good. You know, some of them they get you really good.
Yeah, that is so great.
Cry face.
Yeah, cry face. I do a lot of crying on the show. So.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're still torn because you want to be with Camille.
Yeah.
And she kind of had this mentality of like a one night stand type of a thing. But you know, there is, you know, emotions there. You can tell she does like you. And you're lying to your parents saying that you guys are together.
Yes.
So that's another storyline that I want to see explored. And it will be explored in season three. But it's becoming this kind of like love triangle square between you guys. And now you guys are going to have to maybe compete for the
lady.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right?
We're all competing. Yeah. All competing for Camille.
That's right.
Season three especially really focuses on relationships.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of now new characters on the show.
Really?
In terms of we have Ivy who's there.
Yes. Love her.
And then Camille also gets a possible love interest.
Another one?
Yeah.
Come on.
So there's definitely a square rectangle.
Yeah, it's right. It's a rhombus quadrilateral.
Or we could just do a
octagon.
It's an octagon of love.
Yeah. That's what we do for the Shadowhunters after show. We're just like the love octagon. It's and now it's become even more now.
But it kind of, you know, Camille and Linus kind of take a moment to, I want to say, they explore other avenues and take a break with each other, but they're still always connected, even when they don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to deal with that. And I think a lot of the characters kind of deal with fracture of relationship in all of our, you know.
Yeah, because it's life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, life is all about your relationships with your loved ones, with your friends, with your, you know, whoever you have in your life. And I think that that's one of the big things, like Tesh talked about in season three. It's all about our relationships with each other and then with other characters that come in. And I think it just strengthens the bond of the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that in season three, we are the strongest we've ever been.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get each other more than we ever have, and I think that it shows in the day-to-day operations of the group.
Yeah, you know? I think the kind of the onion peeling back, you'll see kind of the more of the personal communication that we have with each other on an emotional level versus just like a work colleague.
Hey, right.
Did you do this?
Right. Yeah.
That brings a lot more intensity to like whenever you are at work and trying to like stitch into someone. You guys are going to have to realize, okay, we're all here for the same purpose. Let's put our emotions to the side and work together to bring justice to this. The
baggage is real, man.
Yeah.
We've all really sunk it into our roles. You know what I mean? And everybody really respects and loves each other for what they do and understands that like everyone is very good at what they do, at their role within the program. So it's nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. And some of the other miscellaneous things I wanted to touch on that are going to lead up to season three. So the Stitchers lab overthrows the NSA during the Stitch. Blair comes in, he tries to shut it down. You guys just like Blair. Kick butt. And like, I want to know, I mean, there's going to be some consequences, I would assume, because these people are supposed to be higher up than you, and you've pretty much overthrown them and kind of like handcuffed them and thrown them to the side.
Yeah,
we don't like Blair.
We don't like Blair at all. We don't like Blair at all. But you know, it kind of becomes a situation where it's he needs us, and we need him. So we kind of decide to let's just put all our personal differences aside, and we got to do this for the work.
Mm-hmm. You know, right? Maybe we shouldn't kill him yet.
Yeah, you know, because the program. The bigger scope of the program is bigger than all of us.
Right.
You know, than our personal issues. And the goal of the program, what we're trying to do, is bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
Which you guys will maybe find out.
And Maggie's instrumental in making us all see that, you know, the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Because I think that you can dwell on the small stuff. And Maggie really puts the bigger picture out there for us so that we realize, you know, let's not jeopardize our future together within the group, but let's just solve each problem as they come along.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that from what I've seen and from what I've heard, the Stitcher's Lab is kind of like the guinea pig of something that they're trying to do. So they're kind of testing it out, but I feel like in this new season we might see more growth and more cases that are more maybe like international, or just it's becoming a bigger spectrum. You know what I mean?
It absolutely is. The cases, I think, this season two are much more complicated, in depth. Sometimes we're like, "What the hell was that case?" Yeah. "Do you remember what was that?"
Well, I'm awesome. Like, you know, I'm the least smart guy in the group, so I'm like, "Hold on, what is going on? What is happening?" But yeah, I mean, they're broad too. They're all over the place. We have so many different cases. I think the audience is really going to like it this
season. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. And from where we left off, Maggie's son presumably had possibly died from being in the service. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know for sure, but she gets a call and she's looking at the photo and she looks distraught. So something's either... I mean, we know something bad's happening. Whether or not he actually passed away or not, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But that's what people are assuming. But you know how these shows, they like to trick us. So who knows?
Well, she's a tough egg to crack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just seeing her show emotion like that is disconcerting. You're worried about her. Mm-hmm. But she, you know, she puts on that professional face pretty well.
She does.
And doesn't allow it to affect the program. But she has, you know, she has some tough moments this season.
Yeah, definitely. And then Kirsten, she's trying to figure out how to win Ivy's trust back because she totally just, like, crushed it. You know, she brought everyone along, and Ivy does not want to see her or talk to her. Sarah Davenport is an amazing actress. I'm so excited to see her more this season because we only got to see her like maybe an episode or two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really excited. She is like in the show.
She'll be there. You'll see her.
All right,
you'll see her.
And Nina, is she coming back?
That I don't know.
I don't know about Nina. Okay, that's a good question.
I hope so.
No, that's something you guys will just have to figure out.
Yeah. Okay,
but
all right.
But say, you know, Ivy comes back and it's that balance of do we trust her?
Yeah.
You know, do we? You know, it's tough, especially for Kirsten.
It did. You know, part of the octagon.
Yes.
Part of the octagon equation.
She enters the octagon.
To, you know, not say too much.
Right.
But just to give a little something to the fans. So there's a lot of, you know, conflict that's going to occur between us as a group and between us and the program. And
how close she is with Stinger, we don't know. There's just so many unknowns with Sarah's character that it makes it really difficult for the group coming forward or going forward.
Because we don't know if we can trust her or not at this point.
That's right.
We don't know.
I mean, I don't know, but there obviously is some sort of leak within the lab, we feel like. That's like a heavy topic that a lot of people are talking about. And I have my suspicions, but that's interesting because you all seem like such a family, and to think that one of you might be a leak and leaking information to Stinger, that just seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, and how does Kirsten really get trapped? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, within that stitch, I mean, that's the big thing is how she got trapped and how to get her out of it. But you know, who was the culprit? You know, Stinger did he have help? Stuff like that. So
right, because we think Stinger is the one behind it because he's one of the people who has the quantum computer, right? Mm-hmm.
He's one of the few he's basically the only individual that has a quantum computer.
So he is possibly hacking the stitch as young Cameron, which is totally
correct.
Screwed up.
Correct.
And is like telling her that she needs to stay in this stitch. And what I think, my prediction is that the reason he's doing that is because she's gotten too close to him too many times, mm-hmm. and he's trying to possibly shut it down or just kind of put her to sleep for a while until he can do what he needs to do and then bring her back, possibly, because he wants, like, she's finding out too much, mm-hmm. is what I think. Possibly.
It's possible. It's possible. You know, it's funny because we don't know how this season ends yet.
Right.
So we don't.
Have you not read the last couple?
We haven't read the season finale.
We haven't. Oh. I don't know the finale, which basically I would say like 90% of the our answer. Questions yeah. and the answers are in that. In that last script.
But you don't know what Stinger's motives are, whether it's because he's trying to keep her at bay because she knows too much, or he's trying to resurrect a relationship with his daughter, mm-hmm. or what. You know, there's a lot of questions that are involved when it comes to Stinger. So I think that's one of the big focal points for the group this season, is trying to figure mm-hmm. out what the heck he's talking about,
right.
and what he wants.
And Jacqueline Stinger is still apparently alive, allegedly. So that's allegedly. A whole other thing.
Allegedly, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in season three. And it's going to be a wild ride.
Well, we answer a lot of those questions, yeah. and then we raise some new questions for you.
That's how it goes.
That's television, you know?
We'll keep you entertained, and then we'll hook you with the mystery.
That's right.
So that's right. Well, that was like our little season two finale recap. Before we talk about season three, I want to play this short clip that was recently released, which I cannot wait to see what happens.
Look at that guy.
Look at him.
2-1 Everything makes sense when I'm with you.
Clearly she couldn't be the one who killed him.
Faulty memory, outside force.
Blade Runner?
Star Wars.
You can't make this stuff up.
Her oxytocin levels are rising.
It's my favorite hormone.
I'll have what she's having.
Nice.
You really can't make this stuff up.
Stitchers premieres Monday, June 5th on Freeform and the app.
That is awesome. Oh my gosh, I cannot wait to see what happens. Okay, so I love this part at the end where like her hormones are whatever, and I'll have what she's having.
Yeah,
that's classic Camille. That's great. So, what is your favorite part about this trailer?
Ooh,
Tesh.
I was going to say that my favorite part was the three of us looking at the victim at the table.
The victim.
Which we can't
divulge.
We can't really give you any details about it.
But it was an interesting couple of days.
Yeah. That episode is really, it was different for us.
Yeah. I don't think, I'd never seen anything like it personally. And I definitely know Fisher hasn't seen anything like it.
Yeah, both.
It was weird.
On and off the set, a lot of entertainment going on. Yeah. Once you see the episode, you'll understand. Okay, you'll completely understand why.
I'll tweet you guys and be like, whoa.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
What were they talking about? All right.
That is awesome. Well, I love that. Are we going to get any more trailers before the premiere, or is that pretty
one
much
more?
It?
I think there may be one more. I know, you know, because we're going to be shooting at the same time we're mm-hmm. airing. So I know, a lot of the episodes are not picture locked yet. So I don't know what they can use and can't use in terms of promotion.
Yeah.
So I think there might be one more. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I would love I'm hoping that there's, I know that Freeform does a lot where they like back order 10 more episodes or mm-hmm. they'll either make it a whole new season.
Yeah.
Whatever they decide to do. I hope that this time they can, if they do decide to move on with it, they can do it quickly so we can have like that quick turnaround like most of the shows. Because
absolutely.
I think that it's so important to do that because, I mean, you guys are, I don't want to say you're getting older, but like you're getting older. So like you can tell like when seasons have gone, like 9 months have passed and you can tell you guys look a little different. Your hair's a little different.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
What are you talking? Yeah, I'll let you.
I'm starting to get great. So
second, first episode, Jeff Schechter, our creator, he's like, hey, man, you know, you've gotten a few gray hairs over this last season. I was like, yeah, Jeff, I know.
It's been 13 months.
He's like, so.
13?
I was like, you want me to dye my hair? So, good old Fisher had to dye his hair a little bit just to make him look like he was. Like it was fit.
That is
otherwise,
so funny.
He's gotten older.
You're like, it's been 13 months. Come on.
He's gotten a lot older.
It's distinguished. Yeah. You're distinguished now.
That's how it goes. That's right. You have to do for your job.
That's right. So whether or not Linus's father makes it, we don't know. But do you think if for some reason he didn't make it, do you think that Linus is the type of guy who would like take some time off of work? Or is he so work-driven and know that's what his father would want him to do that he would continue on?
You know, I think... it would probably be the latter. You know, the conversation that he had with both of his parents, the hospital, I think just instilled a sense of confidence and you know, work ethic that no matter what happens, I think Linus is aware now of where he stands in the lab, what he does for a living, and the people that he's surrounded by. You know, the people he's surrounded by are his family and his best friends. And I think more than ever, he realizes that, especially this season with the relationships developing. And also, I think sometimes we forget that, you know, what we do every day as a job, you know, stitching, we're saving people's lives in the sense of, you know, we're giving comfort and closure to these crimes that would have never been solved. And sometimes that goes into the back, you know, like, you're like, ah, whatever, you know, we just want to see Campston and, like, just everyone run around and, like, have fun. But, you know, we are helping people that otherwise would be just left in the dark. You know, how did, you know, my mom get murdered? How did my dad get murdered? What happened to my brother, my sister, my lover? You know, it's just like these people are getting closure. And I think that conversation with my dad puts everything in perspective and context. Like, what you're doing is good, and you should find, you know, pride in that and joy that you're able to help these people.
Definitely.
So I think he would definitely kind of just stick to work and, you know, not be afraid to reach out for help if he needed it, you know, emotionally or just kind of if things were getting rough, you know, you wouldn't be afraid to turn to Fisher or turn to Cameron or turn to Camille and be like, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time.
Well, maybe not Fisher.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. If I needed a bodyguard.
Yeah. I want to know what I don't want to know what your character's reaction would be if you found out that Camille and Fisher did hook up. I mean, he's kind of breaking the bro code here.
Do we have bro code? Do Fisher and Linus have bro code yet? They're close.
They're close. I think so. I think it would be more of a shock. I think Linus would be shocked. I think he would be upset.
He'd be upset.
Yeah.
I think if it came as a surprise.
I think, yeah. I mean,
if it was a surprise, he'd be upset. Kind of like, hey, man, that wasn't cool. I think if they talked about it, I think he'd be a lot more understanding.
I think I could see it playing out to where if you talked to him about it, it could... You might pretend to be understanding, but the jealousy would get the best of you.
Yeah, and that would show somehow, you know, we'd probably go on a case and then accidentally shoot him in the leg or something.
Yeah.
Hold on, who's giving you a gun?
Yeah.
Nobody's giving
this
you a gun.
This is part of the thing.
Yeah, nobody's giving
this
you a gun.
This is my pitch. This is where I get a gun.
You're like, okay, so Jeff, I need a gun.
No, don't.
Jeff, if you're watching.
Don't give him a gun.
I can accidentally shoot Fisher in the kneecap.
No.
Oh my God.
I like my kneecap, thank you very much.
It'd be this whole, like, you know, movie, you know, Terminator joke. Remember when Terminator tells John Connor? Or John Connor tells Terminator only shoot people in the knees because he doesn't want to hurt them.
I don't. Oh yeah, I remember Terminator 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
whatever.
Could be Terminator, and I could be John Connor.
Yeah. I get to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to be Edward Furlong.
You're like deal.
Yeah, deal. That's sold. I thought we were in Twins, and you were Danny DeVito, and I was like, that's fine with me. Either way, I'm Arnold.
Yeah, you're good. True. You're Arnold. Yeah. So there's 10 episodes this season, and you guys film in Santa Clarita?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. So do you film, I mean, you mostly film on soundstage, I would assume, right?
Correct.
Yes.
I mean, the inside the lab scene.
Yes, right? Yeah, yeah.
What has been your favorite location to shoot on? Because I know that a lot of times these cases will bring you out on the field and you're having to shoot at different places. Like, what has been one of your favorite places to shoot?
I love downtown. We've been downtown several times, and it's just always fun. Downtown LA.
Downtown was fun.
Yeah.
One time we shot in... Pasadena, which was cool. At that hotel, remember?
Oh,
was
yeah.
Was it Pasadena?
Hold on. Yeah, it was. It was, that was a really cool place.
Yeah.
Wait, was that the place where the guy, like, the music was messing with his head and he, like, jumped off the building, or was that not that episode?
No.
This was this season.
Yeah, this, is, a new, this is a new place, and that's a beautiful, like, I think
it was just a cool area.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Really cool area.
I would assume that would be cool, shooting a show where you're able to kind of go around at different places. Because, I mean, it's so much fun to have, like, a comedy like Young and Hungry, for instance, where you're, like, on the set and you have a live studio audience. But being able to, every episode, kind of go different places, that's got to be fun and interesting. It keeps it, like, fresh. And
it does. Able to move it does. Around.
Well, and also, I think it was the season 2 finale when we come to find where Stinger and Ivy had their little lab. Mm. That was near Santa Clarita, in this old, like, run-down, like electric building. It was just like crazy and old, and there were pipes, and everything was just like, it was really, really cool. Really, really cool. It was a lot of fun.
That did seem like a cool place to shoot, for sure. Have you guys ever gotten hurt on set, like doing any stunts or anything like that? Or
I have not.
I have a couple times.
But he has.
Oh, what happened?
Let's see, season one.
We're going back to season one.
Season one, I jump out of my cruiser, trying to get. It was when they had the woman trafficking episode. I jump out of my car and I'm chasing after this guy and I pull my hamstring.
Oh,
so that was fun. That made me feel old. And then last season, when Kirsten,
this is on a blooper reel somewhere.
Oh, I got it.
She falls.
I don't know if it's online.
She falls asleep in the tank.
She gets up and I think she collapses in the tank. Yeah. So she's like basically gonna drown.
Well, and our director was Chad Lowe, and he was like, "You're gonna run over and you're gonna go to the tank." And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "How about I run and I try and jump over the railing?" And he was like, "Yeah, you can do that." And I was like, "Psh, of course, I can do that." So we do it, and I was like, you know, maybe you should film the rehearsal just in case. And he was like, okay. So I run over, and I have a full suit on, and I go over, and I make it halfway over the railing, and then I just tumble right to the ground, right in front of Teshi and Allison.
Right in front of my station.
And he's just dying laughing. He doesn't care about me. He's just laughing. He's laughing the whole way. So that hurt. That hurt. That's about it. That's crazy.
That's so funny. Have you guys ever, like, not during the show maybe, but like just on your off time, have you ever just gotten in the tank just for the heck of it to take a few photos?
I've never been in the tank.
Me neither.
Come on. That would be the first thing I'd want to do.
No, it looks gross to me.
Well, yeah, Emma's in there. She's like eating all the time.
Oh, yeah, she's got like Cheetos and Doritos and stuff.
And so she's, you know, actually they're really kind of strict about tank maintenance. So I can't just, like, you know, put my shorts on and just jump in.
Yeah, they're not going to
let us. They would drag me out immediately.
Kyle put the suit on and jumped in
on the last day on season two for fun.
And I'm still trying to get that out of my mind.
Yeah. Oh, because he was in the suit.
He actually put on her suit. It didn't fit.
Yeah.
So he basically was running around, you know.
In one of those,
just like spandex from the legs down.
There's something, there's something wrong with that guy.
He seems so funny, though. Like, he seems
he's a lot of fun.
He's not funny at all.
No.
He doesn't think so.
He's not funny or good looking. Doesn't have good hair.
Terrible hair.
What is he doing? What is he doing? Why is he even
on a show? How did he get on?
No, we have a blast. The three guys, we like each other.
Yeah, that's good.
Pretty good amount. We have a lot of fun.
And then while you're shooting, you're obviously in California, but do you guys, as like the season will end, like, do you guys live other places or do y'all live in California?
I live in California. I'm originally from New York.
Oh, okay.
So I will... My parents are still there, and I have an older brother on the East Coast as well, so a lot of family there. So I'll go back for, you know, a couple of weeks, but I pretty much live here in L.A., so...
No. My wife and I, we're here.
Okay.
We're here. I'm from Texas, so I will go back a couple times a year, but L.A.'s home now.
Kyle and Emma, they live in New York, right?
Correct.
I think so, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So you guys are all over the place, and then you come back together.
So that's how it goes.
It's so nice, though. So, when we all come back, we like to have dinner. And
we're like
and
a traveling circus.
Yes.
With the personalities.
That is so cool. What has been, like, the craziest fan encounter that you've come across? Because some of these fans are very passionate. Have you ever had, craziest, like, you've been walking on the street, and it's like, Linus!
I had one dude in... Oh, okay. This is a crazy story. I've had, like, interesting stories, but this one is by far... It takes the cake. Went into a restaurant. I won't say which restaurant. In Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And I put my name down to just put it on the reservation list. And it was me, my sister, and my two nieces, who are really young. They don't watch the show. They were, like, four and three. And so we're sitting down... And we're eating, and in the middle of lunch, we're eating, the hostess runs over from the hostess stand and screams in the middle of the restaurant, "I know who you are!" And then, like, hugs me from behind. And I'll never forget, my nieces were like, "Who is this person?" They're like, total stranger danger. Anyways, she was really sweet. I gave her an autograph and... picture and we spoke and she was really kind. And then about like 2 days later, I got a text message. And I was like, who is this person? And it was like, hey, I don't know if you remember me. But it was the host at this restaurant who took my phone number off of the reservation list.
No.
Yeah.
Did you guys go on a date?
And then we hung out afterwards and I took her out for a drink. So I was like, but it was like weird because I never really thought about stuff like that. So now
maybe you shouldn't give your phone
number. So now I tell my sister, I'm like, Arch, you go put your phone up.
No kidding. So what did you say? Were you just like, hey?
I just didn't respond because I didn't want to open dialogue and then things get weird. You never know. That's the silly part. It's like you just don't know how people are, unfortunately.
And to her, she probably didn't mean any harm by it. She's just
probably was a really sweet person, but you just don't.
You don't know.
No. And you know, you don't want these things to get out of hand and you have to protect yourself. Exactly. Unfortunately. You know, so
moral of the story, don't put your number
down. Don't put your phone up. I'm just going to put Damon's phone number now on reservation list.
And he'll be like, oh, who's this? Oh, okay. Cool.
That was the weirdest. And then one time one dude almost at a pizza shop knocked over a bunch of pizzas. He was working and he was like on the other side of the glass. That was funny.
That's so
funny.
He
was like, Linus!
That's great. What about you?
What about me? No, you know, nobody really recognizes me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do. I'd recognize you.
Thanks, man.
See, I would.
Thanks. No. No, I don't really have any crazy stories. Everybody's been very sweet and wonderful when they come up and say hi.
That's awesome.
And so thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Are you guys going to be on any upcoming events? Like, do you guys are going to any of the cons or anything at this point, or do we not know yet?
We're at D23.
Yeah. I think we're going to be at D23, which is July
14th.
14th.
That's awesome.
That's right.
So we'll be doing a meet and greet. So anyone who wants to come meet us at D23.
Yeah, you can meet the men of science. And
we'll be there.
The detective of science.
You're awesome. You're a man of science.
What?
I mean, you deal with the homicide portion.
Yeah.
That's scientific. That's scientific.
Kind of, I guess.
Forensic science.
Yeah.
I'm going to just show up to D23 and be like, I'm a big fan, man. And you'd be like, this
Who are
kid.
You? Who is this guy?
Well, I did want to show these photos here real quick. I know that we saw some of them in the trailer, but I'm like with these little promo photos, mm-hmm. it just gives me like a little bit, and I'm like, no, I need more. This is what you were talking about earlier.
Correct.
It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. That was a fun episode to do.
House of Body on a Table.
You were just like suited up always, like...
Always.
He looks good, man.
Thanks, dude.
He's styling.
I would assume it would get hot, though, after a while.
It does. It gets really hot. And I got into acting so that I didn't have to wear a suit every day. And look at me wearing
full
a suit
circle,
every day.
That's right.
Full circle. Yeah. Yeah.
The next photo we have is Linus. I'm assuming this is at the lab, right? Or maybe in the conference room?
This is the
lamp looks like a conference room.
I know it all face.
This is a joke. This is a joke coming into play. Yeah. Punchline.
And this time they let you kind of like have a little bit of facial hair, right?
Yeah.
The last season they didn't have that as much, right?
You know, I had some facial hair. I don't think it was as prominent, but you know, sometimes I don't say anything.
You just sneak in. I noticed that Kyle's got some more facial hair this season.
Yes, that was a decision to
make him look older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's only 17.
And here Emma's
asleep.
Probably after eating 30 bags of Cheetos.
Oh, I think I see a Cheeto floating by.
Yeah.
Yep. That's so funny.
Yeah, she's snoring right there.
I feel like poor girl has... This is the majority of the show. She's supposed to be in this
This
suit.
Is where she gets all of her sleep anyways.
Right.
So.
I would assume it would be relaxing to a certain point, and then I would just be like, I'm done. My fingers look like prunes.
Well,
I'm
she
ready
just
to get
pees
out.
In there.
Yeah.
So it's
No wonder tank maintenance means they got to change the water.
Yeah, you don't want to get in there. There's no chlorine.
That's why we don't get in the tank. That's why we don't get in the tank.
Oh, that's so great.
Because she's peeing.
And here you are with Maggie.
That's right.
The two of you guys are just probably laughing at something stupid that we did.
Yes.
You guys have that smirk on your face.
Maggie's trying to hold it together. You're smirking. Yeah.
Because, look, I tried to. In season one, I tried to be all serious and stuff, and half of season two, but these guys are funny.
Mm.
They say really stupid stuff. And so it's hard not to smile because they say such stupid stuff.
I know.
So, yeah, so we have one of the bosses has to be serious all the time, and it's not me.
Hey, that's great. And here you're just like full smile.
Full good, just cheesing. Clean shaven face, too.
Perfect, perfect teeth.
That's so funny. You know, one thing I love about the show, or one of the main things I love about the show, is the fact that every episode is like a different story. So, like, yes, you have the overlaying, mm-hmm. relationships and the problems that are going on, but then every episode we get a totally different story, which makes it almost like a one of those shows that's like based on every episode is a different thing.
Yeah, procedurals are great like that, and you have a different case every week, and then you also we get to, you know, a couple episodes per season, one of the characters gets a bit of an arc, and you get to see a little bit more about their you know personal lives.
And definitely,
I think it's great for Freeform too because we're really their only procedural first.
That's right.
First. And still.
Is it really the first?
I think their first procedural.
And
I don't think.
Only forever.
Forever.
That's right.
We'll be on for 1,000
That's
episodes.
Right. That's what I'm hoping.
We'll be the Law and Order.
Yes.
A free floor.
Yeah, right.
We got to spin Stitcher's Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh. Yes. God. You guys are going to be like 50 years old.
Stitcher's
yeah.
Sydney.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The men of science in Las Vegas. Science. That's dangerous.
Grandpa's.
Yes. And this photo here, this is great.
Yeah. This was the first week of filming. On season 3, and
we didn't let Kyle out of that for a good week and a half.
We just locked him in there.
Is there like I'm guessing like above it? Is there like grates to be able to let fresh air in, or like
there's no grates.
No, there's no oxygen either.
Yeah. That's a chamber.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, get me out of here.
The actors,
and then we locked him in.
Yeah, the actors who play the victims,
they're really dead.
They're really dead.
Yeah,
they are.
Fisher goes back and he strangles them.
Yeah. Why do I have to kill them? I don't have to kill them. Maggie kills them.
Yeah, she Maggie
Blair.
She's like just
That guy.
Just injection. No, they have to hold their breath. You know, when the camera comes across them or pans on them, they hold their breath.
Yeah,
it's actually harder.
It's a really hard job. I don't know. Have you played dead before?
I've never done it.
I've played dead before.
Oh my gosh.
And it is not fun. It is not fun to do at all. You have to hold your breath for a long time, man.
Just do some trainings.
Yeah.
Underwater pool training.
And then, then you can see your heartbeat from like your neck. And they're like, can you just stop your heartbeat? And you're like, no, I can't.
Can you control that?
I can't do that.
Yeah,
you didn't pay me to do that.
No breathing exercises.
Can you just make your neck stop throbbing there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for joining me. So June 5th at
9 p.m.
Yeah. 9 p.m. Okay. June Pacific 5th. Standard Time, right?
That's right.
Or is that?
Well, it's 9, 8 Central.
So oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
9 o'clock June in 5th, New York, 9 o'clock Central. In L.A., and then 8 o'clock in Chicago. Chicago Central Time.
I don't know, man.
I'm so excited, you guys. I've waited for so long.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. And then really quick, what other projects do you have going on right now? You have Young and Hungry
coming out. Yeah, I got Young and Hungry coming out. Well, this will air, I think, after?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have been on Young and Hungry, but I'm also on a cartoon called Star Wars Rebels.
Oh.
Season 4 is coming out. I don't know what the air date is, but it's a big one, and I'm in it. And it's the last season. So it's very, very exciting. And Star Wars fans out there.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's really cool.
That's awesome. I like it. I'm going into producing, so I have a couple projects that I'm in the works with, and a base jumping documentary that I'm doing based off some friends of mine.
Wow.
So that'll be out at the end of this year, and you guys look for it. It'll be fun.
That is really awesome.
Yeah.
You're gonna see him and I base jump, but
that's awesome.
Right. I'm terrified, so I'll be strapped to his back.
It's so
nice. So he'll just jump and he'll see me flailing.
That is amazing.
These guys amaze me, so
that's
I thought we'd do a story about him.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, make sure to follow Ritesh Rajan and Damon Dayoub on all social media platforms. Where can everyone find you again?
Tesh Rajan.
Damon Dayoub.
All right. And thank you guys so much. This is season 2, episode 1. We made it to season 2, guys, on Millennial Hollywood. Thanks again for joining us. And we are so excited June 5th for the premiere of Stitchers, so make sure you stay tuned. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.